Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Empowerment Place with another episode of Fire and Desire with your host, Prophetess Valerie Burwell and Prophet Rodney Veeney. So grateful to God for another opportunity to come and share with you a relevant kingdom teaching that will help to enrich, empower, and impact your life. On this evening, we will be sharing from the topic, Living Your Dream. Do you ever wonder and know that God has made plans and provisions for your best life? Do you ever even think about that? Well, that's what we're going to share today. We're going to talk about the things that are necessary, the choices that are required in order for you to have that dream life made manifest in your life. So we thank you for joining us, and we know that you're going to be blessed by this word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Turn it over to you, Prophet.
All right. I want to say good evening to everyone, and God bless you, Prophetess Valerie. Thank God for this day and all that he has apportioned to us, through us, and for us this day. And we are excited about the word of the Lord as always.
Amen.
So, again, as Prophetess Valerie, you've stated, we're going to talk about this dream life. And you mentioned something when you were doing the intro there. I think that a lot of times, in my conversations with a lot of people, this is not something that we spend a lot of time talking about or even thinking about on an individual level.
Right.
Amen. It's almost as if so many of today's society, and even those of us who are kingdom people, and those of us who are, you know, called by the name of Christ, or however you want to refer to us,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've gotten so caught up in the busyness of life that we fail to, you know, take time, take a sail-out moment to think about, you know, are we really on course for the life that God purposed us to live? And how far, how far removed are we from that? You know, it's important that certain intervals of life that we take a minute to just take a breath and stop and think about something. Because if we never do that and we just continue on the same course, and that direction is not leading to where actually we know God wants us to be, certainly we're not going to end up where God wants us to be, because there's not going to be the opportunity that we've taken to even allow God to give us some directions that will take us from where we are to where he needs us to be.
Amen.
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 So tonight, let's take a look. Let's take a minute here to think about and to talk about the dream life. And I want to begin in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. And we're going to use this, we're going to use verses 18 through 20.
Amen.
And we're going to start there. And then we're gonna go forth from there. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 says this. Here is what I have seen. Now this is Solomon,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's you know, we attribute to being one of the wisest men to walk the earth.
Amen.
He says this, then he mentions this term in a lot of different places in his writing here in Ecclesiastes. He says, here is what I have seen. One of the things about Solomon was a great student of life.
Amen.
He was a great student of life. Throughout the course of his writing here in Ecclesiastes, he says that more than once. He talks about, I looked and I considered.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, and I turned and I observed this. And so Solomon is teaching us something right here. He's teaching us that you can't just be going through life so fast that you don't stop to learn anything.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
We have to be students of life, because life is the greatest classroom that you will ever enter.
Amen.
Amen. It's one of the greatest classrooms. And wisdom says, I'm out here in life. I'm at the street corner. You know, I'm here, I'm there. You know, I'm crying out to you. And so we don't interact and embrace in that wisdom if we don't become a student of life. So he says, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his heritage. We'll come back and talk about that word heritage. It says in verse 19, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Now, within that verse, he's talking about the plan of God and the provisions that God has made for us to have this dream life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20, he says, for he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And so one of the things that we have to understand is the fact that doing what we have been placed in the earth by God to do is part of living the dream life. Amen?
Yes.
We tend to say it this way, fulfilling your purpose in life.
Yes, yes.
Is in fact part of the dream, part of living the dream life. Amen?
Amen.
The dream life is built around God's purpose for your life. The dream life is built around God's purpose for your life. Now, I want to take a minute and expound on that, prophet, is because what we are going to have to understand is this is where the choices and decisions and the choices and decision-making process is going to be very important. Because this life now is going to have to be built around the original intent of God for our life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some choices and decisions that we have got to mature to the point in life that we can make in order for this dream life to be established and be built around the very original intent of God for our life.
Yes.
Now, we mentioned this a lot, and certainly we've had conversations about, you know, the purpose of God for our lives and things like that, and how there's a lot of people in church today who are, in fact, don't have a clue what God's original intent. They don't have a clue about the purpose of God for their life.
Amen.
And you know, if you're living without purpose, you're just going through the motions of living life. You're not really living life the way God purposed it to be lived.
Amen.
Amen. What can, Prophetess Valerie, what can we share? What can we share right here that will serve to help someone who's sitting there tonight not knowing what their purpose in life is?
Well, I mean, gosh, Prophet, there's a lot that we could say, but because of
Amen.
The time constraint, you know, one thing people have to look at that don't feel like they know their purpose, when you begin to have conversations with God, and hopefully that you are having those conversations, because often one reason you don't know is because you don't talk to him.
Right. Amen.
So, you know, you've got to begin to initiate some conversation with him. And conversation is not just you talking to him with needs and desires, but you speaking and then allowing him to speak back to you. Once
Amen.
You begin to have dialogue and conversation with him and you begin to move about, you'll find yourself doing things that you're so very comfortable with, things that just come natural to you. And often when that happens, we overlook it because it is so easy.
Yes.
But it's that thing that is so easy that God has placed that gifting on your life to do that thing that is so easy, that's generally connected to your purpose. Because
yes.
He's not going to purpose for you to do something that's outside of your realm of doing.
Yes.
Whatever he gives you to do, he equips you to do. So when you're doing that thing that's so easy, that thing that comes without second thought, that other people watch you do and say, wow, I wish I could do that the way that you do it.
Right.
You
Amen.
Need to start paying attention to that, because that's probably gifting that God has said, okay, look, I need you to utilize this. I need you not just to utilize it. I need you to maximize this, because this is a part of taking you to your dream life.
Amen. 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 That's very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that you said that I think is so important is the dialogue with God. You know, we've got to mature to the place where we have dialogue with God. Our prayer sessions become dialogue.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, there's an exchange.
Yes.
You know, we've got to mature to that place where we're just not talking to God about what's impacting our life or what's touching our life. You know, but we're dialoguing with him. And we're giving God the opportunity to you know, reveal his heart, his mind, his intent, and his purpose.
Amen.
We got to become interested in what's on God's mind. We got to become interested in what's on his heart and what's on his mind. more so than what I'm going through.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That's a key right there.
Yes.
I have to become more interested. I have to be motivated by and driven by knowing, wanting to know what's on his mind and what's in his heart for me, more so than talking to him about necessarily what I'm going through at any given point in time.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and I know we said we're talking about the dream life, but we're not gonna compete with the spirit. With
Amen.
The of his way.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
When it comes to that conversation too, because I know that several years ago I taught prayer boot camps, and you know they were like, we want to learn prayer, and I said, well, no, I need to. We're going to talk about conversation.
Amen.
Because they had been having quote unquote prayer where they just shot at God.
Right.
They
Amen.
never heard a thing. And so in the exercises that God had shown me to give to them, it made them listen. It made
wow.
them tap in. It made
uh-huh.
them have to say, okay, God, wait a minute. I'm praying about something that's not even me. So, God, I need you to give me the answer so I can relay it to somebody else.
Right.
So they couldn't do that within themselves. They had to actually stop and say, okay, God, what? And sometimes people have to be almost challenged to be quiet to hear God.
Right, right. Amen.
Because we've been so trained that we get up and tell God what we want.
Right.
And expect
Amen.
Him to do just what we want and never even listen to hear him say, I'm not going to do that now. I
Amen.
Can't do that anyway because you're not in the right place.
Right. Amen.
Why
Amen.
Are you expecting
Amen.
That of me? Those things that I expect of you are not taking place. What do you want from me?
Amen.
And all of that is connected to understanding how we can live a dream life.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I'm kind of grinning over here and smiling to myself as you're saying that because I've experienced that myself in some of the training classes that I did in Africa. I recall one recent trip I was on, and it was actually a training session that we were doing with leaders, pastors, apostles,
mm-hmm.
bishops, and all this group. And so in one of the sessions I was in, and I wasn't speaking at the time, but, you know, one of the speakers, you know, gave the instruction, you know, for the group to begin to pray. And the room exploded.
Wow.
You know, the room exploded with men, primarily men,
mm-hmm.
crying up to God and just praying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there in the midst of this, and the Lord quickened to my spirit, and he says, look at them. Look at them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, they're just talking.
Yeah, ain't nobody listening.
You know, they're just talking, and he was telling me it's unfruitful.
Yeah,
they don't have a concept. They don't have an understanding of what's on my heart, what's on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why a lot of times, you know, we're trained. You know, you approach God through worship. You know, let me get in sync with God first.
Yes. Yes.
You know, let me get in a posture, and let me take a certain posture with God before I just, you know, this other approach where you just explode, start, you know, talking to God. I call it just hollering at God.
Yeah, it is.
You know, just holler. You know, we use the term holler at me. Yeah, that's for street people. You know, God is not into you hollering at him.
No, not at all.
You know, he wants to have an exchange. He wants to have dialogue. He came down in the garden to Adam, and they fellowshiped and had communion.
Yes.
You know, there was an exchange there, you know. And so it's going to be important now if you're going to get a position to receive the revelation of your purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And there's some other things Prophetess Valerie mentioned. You know, what are you equipped to do?
Yes.
And one of the ways that I present that question is, what does the grace and the oil look like on your life?
Right.
And so many of us, we've been in churches, we're so accustomed to looking and observing the oil on someone else's life. We spent very little time looking at it on our life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can talk about certain people. We can talk about how they flow in the anointing. We can talk about how, you know, the spirit of grace and the spirit of wisdom shows up and what it sounds like and how they move and flow in the spirit. We can talk about that about other people, but we don't know that about ourselves. And if you're ever going to discover purpose, you're going to have to understand. You know, understanding these things about yourself is going to help you to understand what your purpose is, because you are equipped for certain things. You are equipped by God. God has given you the equipment, the grace to accomplish specific tasks.
Yes, he has.
And like Prophet Valerie said, it becomes easy. It's something that you take for granted because it's easy to you where someone else struggles with it.
Yeah.
The people that were paid to go to school to try to learn to do something that you had the grace and the awe on your life to do, you've never been trained.
Amen. Amen.
You've never been to any institution or any school of learning to do this thing, but yet you can just, it's like it comes naturally to you. That's the grace, that's the oil that's on your life.
Yeah.
It's pointing you towards your purpose.
Amen.
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 That's what you said, Prophet, about, you know, how you can observe what's going on in other people but not recognizing what's going on in your own life. And what I'm seeing as God allows me to go to and fro is that when God is trying to reveal to them what their purpose is, they've not been conditioned to transition.
Right.
And so when God's beginning to show them things and prompt them to do certain things, they're in an awkward state, like, well, what am I supposed to do? And is this guy changing me, or is this they've not been taught to flow and transition. So
uh-huh.
Even when he's speaking, they get like, I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Right. Wow.
They get stuck.
Amen.
And so that's when they're really like, now they're seeking. And I find that they go and they seek man's advice instead of going back to the one who started the transition, who
right.
put them in
Amen.
That process, going back to him
Amen.
And saying, okay, Daddy, look, I know that something is happening and I'm not really sure. Can you give me some clarity? And he will.
Amen.
But when
Amen.
They get stuck, then they fall back to their old ways and go seeking man for, well, what am I supposed to do now?
Amen.
And man didn't even give you the instructions.
Exactly. Amen. You know, that sounds just like Samuel in his, in his encounter with Eli during that time when God began to speak to him directly. You know, he wasn't accustomed to that
right.
type of exchange. And he went right back to Eli, you know, saying, you know, hey, you know, you talking to me. I mean, you know, and it wasn't coming through Eli. And that place is where, you know, you got to realize there comes a day, there comes a time where certain people need to begin to diminish their role in your life.
Yes, yes.
You know, we all need tutors and mentors and things like that to help us to grow to a certain stage. But, you know, leaders need to know when less of me is needed.
Yes.
Less of me is required in this person's life.
Exactly.
Yes.
Required.
Yes. Amen. And I begin to back out.
Yeah.
I begin to back out, and not to abandon, but I realize I need to play a lesser role in this person's life, because the ultimate goal is, anyhow, I was only supposed to get you to a place. I was only supposed to point you to the King, anyhow.
Yes.
You know, that was my assignment.
And maturity is up to you as an individual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your responsibility.
Yep.
Your responsibility.
Yep. Amen.
So prayerfully, all of that will help someone. Prayerfully, you know, we can kind of share some of those nuggets each time to help those people, because there is a large audience. Don't be, you know, I want to say this before we move on, prophetess, and I think it needs to be said. If, in fact, you have been around church for years and you still don't know your purpose, don't be ashamed of that.
Right. Amen.
To the point that embarrassment or whatever it is will keep you from asking questions and inquiring, you know, in order to take the next step towards the discovery of your purpose. Don't sit there as if you know what it is and you know you don't know what it is.
Right.
And you act like you know what your purpose is. You're going through the motions like you know what your purpose is, but you're actually getting nowhere because you have no clue.
Yeah.
You have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We got to be real with ourselves. I always say this to people. You know, God can't trust you if you can't be honest with yourself.
Exactly.
You know, be honest with where you are in God. Be real about it. You know, there's no grace. There's no grace where the truth is not applied.
Amen.
Grace and truth work together. So if you're not operating with truth, there's no grace to overcome that.
Amen.
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 So be real with yourself. You know, let's be real with ourselves. Let's be honest about where we are. And then, tell the Lord, help me with my unbelief. Help me in this area of my life, you know, to take the next step, you know, so I can fulfill my purpose in life.
Amen.
So building your life around God's purpose, again, building your life around God's purpose for your life puts you in position to receive your heritage. You use that word heritage, and that word heritage speaks to inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And also another definitive of that word is the word birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could get into this, but we might get stuck. But if you go back and you study the account of Jacob and Esau, we know that Esau sold his birthright. He forfeited his heritage because of a need. You know, he actually said this. Esau said this. He says, look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me? You know, so this speaks to, and this is an analogy for those of us now who will make choices based on needs and circumstances,
right,
versus building our life around purpose. This is the difference now. And this is the type of, this defines the type of choices we have to get to a place that we can make. I have to be able to make choices based on purpose,
yes,
and not based on needs.
Yes.
You know, even when I have pressing needs and circumstances are trying to dictate choices, I've got to mature to a place where I can withstand that adversity and choose purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to mature to a place, Prophetess Valerie, where I make choices. I don't respond favorably to adversity.
Amen.
Adversity wants me to respond to it. It wants me to give it a favorable response. I've got to mature where I don't respond to it favorably. In other words, I don't let adversity dictate my choice.
Exactly.
I'm not going to choose something because I need something. Yeah. Come on. That's maturity. Maturity doesn't preach something because it needs something. Maturity doesn't let adversity change its attitude, its message, or its mood.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so many times we see folk that's what happens. They're preaching something because they need something. Well, you've let what you're going through get your message. That's not to say sometimes God will lead you to say something about a need. I'm not discounting that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when your need is dictating your entire message, that shows that you're not managing adversity very well.
Yes.
When adversity is dictating your attitude, whenever you got serious needs and whatever you're going through, you're walking around like you're defeated. That shows distinct maturity that you're in. Whenever you allow adversity to dictate these things about your life, it shows the level of maturity that you're really walking in.
Right.
So when you talk about living a dream life, it's going to require a certain level of maturity because the type that you're going to be required to make are going to demand that you are able to manage adversity. Adversity is going to run parallel with a lot of the choices that you're required to make.
Amen. Amen.
I'll say that again. Adversity is going to run parallel with a lot of choices that you will be required to make. We're still talking about this dream life. I give you a biblical example. The woman with the issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
She determined her course of action. Adversity is going to run parallel with the choices that she decided she was going to make.
Right.
You know, we know the history and the traditions of the time that she lived in. She was never even supposed to be in public with that type of condition.
Right.
Not only that, she was a woman, and women, you know, look down on when you're out there like that by yourself, uncovered. So there's a lot of things that she's doing that's really, you know, contrary to the culture of the land.
Yes.
And she's putting herself in jeopardy just by the choices that she's making. But she has determined a course of action.
Mm-hmm.
And she's resolute about her plan.
Right.
And it works out for her.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
It works out for her. But keep in mind, adversity ran parallel to the choices that she was required to make.
And one thing, too, when you say that about adversity being parallel, when adversity shows up, don't call it the devil.
Amen, please.
Please don't say, oh, that devil, oh, that enemy. No, it's you.
Amen, amen.
You made a choice. You
amen.
Know, often we have opportunities where in God, when you know God has spoken and given you clear instructions to do things a certain way, but you decide, I'm going to shortcut.
Yes.
I'm going to do a little bit of that, but I'm going to do this much of me. And so then here comes adversity saying, oh, good, you gave me an opportunity to show up.
Right. Amen.
And as soon as it does and you have to deal with the consequences and that's keeping you from dream life, you're saying, oh, the devil. Oh, the devil
right.
is busy. No, no, no. You're busy.
Right, exactly, exactly.
You're busy.
Amen, amen.
So stop giving him credit for something he didn't even do. He's
exactly.
laughing at you then because he's like, they stupid. Like, I had nothing to do with that. That was them.
Amen,
but if
amen.
You won't give me credit for it, I'm going to take it.
Amen, absolutely. You know, one of the devil's strategies, and a lot of people perhaps, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, let me just release it to you so you'll know it for sure. One of the enemy's strategies, I think it's in 2 Kings 6, I believe, but it talks about how the king of Syria, I believe it was, he had besieged the city. Now, when you place a city under siege, that means you surround the city.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mean that you attack.
Right, right.
It means you surround it. And so in this particular account, it says the city was under siege, so nothing was coming in and nothing was going out. So they were interrupting the economy. They shut down the economy. Nothing could come into the city, and nothing could come in. Nothing could come out. Nothing could come in. They were trying to control the economy of the land by means of placing it under siege. But keep in mind, they're not under attack.
Right.
The enemy sometimes will just make his presence known. He does not attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
His plan is that you would do something stupid.
You would, and 9 times out of 10, you will.
Just by means of just knowing he's present.
Yes, yes.
Because now this particular account I'm referring to is the same account where two women agreed, we're going to eat my son tonight, we're going to eat your son the next night. Something stupid.
Yeah.
How in the world are you going to give up your children to just because you're on? And the plan was working for the enemy because that's what he was banking on. They'll do something stupid if I put enough pressure on them, but I'm going to attack. He's banking on you doing something stupid. Now, forgive me for using a derogatory term, but basically that's what that's his strategy. He uses that. And a lot of people, we do crazy things. We do crazy stuff based upon the mere fact that the enemy is present. The enemy will send people into your life, and you start moving. You start moving and making choices and decisions just because someone showed up. They haven't even said anything.
Yeah.
They haven't even done anything. And in fact, they're incapable of doing anything to really affect your position. But you move out of position simply because they showed up.
Ooh, Jesus.
The enemy put you under siege and you did something stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a tactic that the enemy uses over and over again. People leave churches. People leave jobs. People abandon careers. Move out of position all based on somebody showing up.
Just showing up.
Haven't said one word to you. Haven't attacked you. You know, there's no threat to you. They're just there. And you can't even deal with their presence. And so you decide you're going to make a move. And you move out of position for what God has set you up for. I mean, beware of the tactic of the enemy to place you under siege.
Yes.
You
yes.
send people. And, you know, you might have had experiences with these people in the past. Or maybe someone tells you about a negative experience that they've had. Oh, you better watch out now. if they in your department. And here you go.
Yeah.
You're moving out of position just based on someone's presence.
Because showed up. Yeah.
Someone, I mean, come on, man. That's weak Christianity.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these are things that, you know, we got to learn. We got to know. We got to know how to stay in position. One of the most important things in life, period. One of the most important things in life is to develop the maturity and the ability to hold your ground and to stay in position.
Yes.
That's one of the most important things in life. That's the scripture in Psalm 68. It says, she who stayed at home gathered the spoil.
Amen.
She stayed in position.
Amen.
You know, and it talks about armies were fleeing. Armies were running away. Armies fleed. Armies abandoned. Armies now who are equipped for warfare flee, ran. But this woman named JL stayed at home. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
And she got the spoil.
She got it.
Why? Because she stayed in position.
Mm-hmm. She was able to experience dream life.
Amen. Amen.
For holding her ground, for staying
exactly.
in position. So that
that's all she had
achieve.
To do.
All she knew the difference between what man said and felt, and what God was speaking.
Exactly.
And
Amen.
So what he said, I'm going to do. What,
Amen.
You can roll with that if you want to, but I'm going to wait and be of good
Amen.
Courage. I'm going to wait.
That's right.
Because
That's right.
I know that if I wait on him, if I just do what he says to do, then I don't have to worry about the toil, and I don't have to worry about any of that. I know that in the end, I'm going to experience
Amen.
Dream life.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
So staying in position is going to be a key.
It is.
You know, being in a position to receive your inheritance from God is part of living the dream life. You know, God has you have an inheritance. Scripture talks about how we are joint heirs with Christ.
Yes.
We're heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ. God has an inheritance for us. You got to be in position to receive it, though. And it's part of the dream life. Amen. Be in a position to enjoy your heritage is part of living the dream life. It's one thing, you know, it's one thing to be to receive it. But then he talks about, you know, eating it
yes.
and enjoying it. That,
yes.
That's another part of the whole picture, you know, position to think. You know, eating it and enjoying it or eating it and enjoying it. That's another part of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be in position. Then we got to be in position to enjoy it. We've got to be in position to receive. Then we've got to be in position to enjoy it.
And Prophet,
then the other thing that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, because when you said that, I think about, and not even those who actually go out seeking provision, but I think about those who have that spirit of greed that just want more of the tangible thing. And even after they gain the tangible thing, they're still miserable
yes.
and not even able to eat it,
enjoy it. They're
operating in greed.
Yes, can't enjoy it. And even in this same writing in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the writer, found out a lot of times when you live life that way, don't live your life built around purpose, someone else is enjoying it more than you are.
Absolutely.
He talks about someone else coming along and eating it.
Yeah, they're waiting for you to die.
Right. And that's sad.
But that's true. You know,
yes, it is.
They watch and they be like, go ahead. You, child, you're going to work yourself to death. That's what they're
right.
speaking over your life. Oh, you're going to work yourself to death.
Yeah.
And they waiting for you to work yourself to death.
Amen.
So they can.
You know, amen. I'm glad you said that because that brings up another point. A valid point, very important point. People need to understand that we are in a system. The world has a system, and the kingdom of God represents a different system.
Yes, it does.
Now the systems of this world, the history of the systems of this world, the history now, you can go back and study history.
Mm-hmm.
This system, this worldly system is designed for those who will buy into it and become vested in it. You buy into this world system and become vested in it. It's designed for you to work all of your life and had and die with nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm.
Nothing to pass on.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed for you to give your life, basically, for no enjoyment, for no fulfillment, for no real eternal rewards in return.
Yeah.
Because it's not based on purpose. So you spend years of your life working to help someone else who had an idea become successful.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they have no intentions, really, of rewarding you the way God will reward you when you fulfill his purpose. They can't even measure up to that. They can't even come close to that. But we buy into this worldly system because we're indoctrinated with it from childhood.
Yes, we are.
We're indoctrinated with the American dream. And so we vest into that. And the history now, just go back and study history. You know several people who did this, spent all their days, all their life working hard. And they really did not enjoy life. If you were to ask them, there was very little enjoyment. They had very little time to even enjoy what they worked for. They had very little time. By the time they were ready to retire, their health was failing.
Yeah.
Because of all the toil and all the stress and all the strain that was placed on their body to keep up with the demands that was placed on them daily. And so, you know, that stage of the game to talk about my health is failing. And as a result of this system that we have been part of,
right,
that's competing with the kingdom of God. And so people of God need to realize
that's adversity that's going alongside your choice.
Exactly. Exactly. We got to realize that fully comprehend two systems. And a lot of us don't fully comprehend the fact that there are two systems that are competing systems.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, the average church person knows more about the systems of the world than they do about the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
Because you've had more training.
Yeah. And not even more training. You just, that's what you became accustomed to. Because
right.
even being a part of just church, you still don't even know how just church is even operating because you're doing things in just church that are not
right.
sustained of God.
Exactly. Amen. Amen.
So we those usher days and those deacon days.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul said this. He says, I've been crucified with Christ.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I live.
Yes.
Yet not I, but Christ live within me.
Mm-hmm.
This life, this kingdom life is a lifestyle you've got to embrace. You've got to learn how to live.
Yes.
When you become saved, you got to learn how to live again.
Amen.
The kingdom way.
Amen.
And it's not something that you automatically take up. You need to learn.
You have to learn.
Jesus said, you know, come and learn of me.
Yeah.
You got to learn this system that I flow in me. He said, my burdens are light.
Yes.
I ain't going to tax you. I ain't going to overtax you and weigh you out and then spit you out.
Mm-mm.
And so it's a different way of life. Now, this is one point that I want to get to tonight, prophets. Verse 20 says,
yes.
Ecclesiastes 5, it says, verse 20 says, he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life because
mm-hmm.
God keeps him busy
mm-hmm.
with the joy of his heart. The dream life means that you are engaged in and you're doing what you have been sent to the earth to do.
Yes.
That's exciting.
It
That's
is.
Fulfilling.
It is.
Amen. And it's not boring. Most Christians I know have a very boring life.
Yeah, they do.
I'm just sorry to put it out there, but I've been watching some people, and I just come to that conclusion. Most of the saints I know, maybe some people will think my life is boring, but I'm excited about what I do. I love what I do.
Yes, you
Amen. I love what I do.
You do.
Amen. And I'll be transparent tonight. I've been in positions where I've made good money. I've been in positions where I made good money and had some exciting jobs, things like that. But there was the void of I wasn't fulfilling purpose.
Fulfilling, yes. Amen.
Now on the flip side of that, well, I'm fulfilling purpose.
Yes.
And now my life is beginning to become, my life is coming full circle in this season of my life.
Yes.
Because now Now that I'm feeling purpose, God is showing me, he's proving to me and teaching me how to get into a place to tap into the abundance that comes along with living the dream life. That's when it comes full circle.
It is. Amen.
That not only am I doing what I've been sent to the earth to do, which is exciting, he keeps me busy with that, you know. So, you know, that's really exciting to me, and that fulfills me. But he talks about, you know, the inheritance that comes as part of that. You know, riches and wealth is part of that. Enjoyment is part of that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So life is never boring for those who live the dream life. The dream life is an exciting life. It's not, you know, it's not that I'm going where or traveling, you know, somewhere all the time, but just the mere fact that I can sit down at the end of the day and I can see fruit.
Amen.
I can see the fruit of my life. I thank God. I bless God all the time for the opportunities that I've had to make a difference in somebody's life. When I leave from this earth, people are going to know I've been here.
Yes.
Amen. And there'll be people who will testify of the fact that I changed their lives.
Amen.
And that blesses me.
Amen.
You won't have to go to the cemetery to be reminded that Rodney Vini was here.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And
because of the fact that, amen, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that everyone needs to understand what you're confessing right now, what you're expressing right now is something that each of us has the ability to do when we're living the dream life.
Yes.
Because when you're
yes.
living the dream life, when you're operating according to what God has purposed that you do, you're going to impact somebody's life other than your own.
Yes, yes. Life was never meant to be a bless me only proposition. Never.
No. Yeah.
You know, you're here for someone.
Yes.
You're here for a group of people.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Finally, let me give you this last one. Didn't get very far tonight, but that's all good.
Amen.
The dream life is absent of any responsibilities that are external to your purpose in life and the responsibility to manage the life that's built around your purpose. I'll say that again.
Yeah.
The dream life is absent of any responsibilities that are external to your purpose in life and the responsibility to manage the life that is built around your purpose. These are the primary responsibilities that Adam had when God planted him in that garden. His responsibility was stay in position to fulfill purpose and manage life in the garden.
Amen.
Now, when life becomes burdensome and toilsome and we become oppressed and we begin to struggle, it's in part because we have taken on responsibilities that were never meant to be ours.
Amen.
We've taken on responsibilities that are external to the purpose of God for our life and managing the life that God that's built around the purpose of God.
Yes.
There's a lot of people listening to me right now and who are going to hear this. You need to hear this right here if you don't hear anything else. When we take on responsibilities that are external to our purpose in life and in addition to the responsibilities of managing the life that's built around purpose, that's when we've taken on responsibilities that were never meant to be ours, and we become burdened down with that, stressed out with that.
Yes.
We're trying to take care of ourselves when it was always God's intent to take care of us when we live life on purpose.
Amen.
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 God wants to subtract some things from our life.
Yes.
Psalm 81, verse 6, it says, he freed my shoulder from the burden. He loosed my hands from the baskets. That means that God wants to take these responsibilities that's not supposed to be ours, no longer ours. He wants to take those things away. He wants to subtract some things from our life.
Amen. And by doing so, you will have the ability, as long as you're living on purpose, to live the dream life. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you
Amen.
All so much for joining us, all those who called in, those in the chat room. God bless you. Join us again on Thursday when there'll be another empowerment message. As always, we encourage you every day do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility,
to empower someone else. God bless you. Until next time.
Amen.